Welcome to the Fair Parenting Podcast, where we cover people's stories, ideas, and the progress towards fair parenting.
Welcome to the podcast. Today is part two of my discussion with Brent Bowlby, a dad from Minnesota. Last episode was part one, and here we expand more on his story and talk about some wider topics too. So here we go, part two of my discussion with Brent Bowlby.
Yeah, you know, I think what's happening is more than likely, you know, they had this, the Tennessee law challenge in the Supreme Court this week, and that is to basically ensure that children, minors, do not receive gender affirming care, which is really the opposite. It's death. It's a death cult, essentially. Everything they do is about wrecking the body, and the spirit and the mind, heart, soul of that child. And it's going to probably end up back as a state's rights issue, in which means that in states like where I live, where we are considered a trans destination, where we will allow children from other states to come to Minnesota without their legal guardian. We'll offer them gender affirming care, which generally means puberty blockers, cross sex hormones, in more serious cases, obviously surgeries. And we will do that for minors that decide that they just don't want to be a girl today or a boy today or whatever. You can come to Minnesota, and then we have a legal fund where we will fight the other states that might try to, you know, bring the children back home or sue the state of Minnesota. And then we also have a public fund available to those children that are transitioning that don't have health insurance. Yeah. What we don't do, I mean, and that's pretty freaking extreme if you ask me. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically Minnesota is saying that they are the parent of not only parents in Minnesota, but those who live in other states. That's pretty evil as far as I'm concerned. But, if you don't like it, they can. And this is why, you know, me speaking out about this, using my real name, you know, I do face, a lot of retribution in the courts for doing this. I do face a lot of ire from local agencies that, you know, they're upset that I'm exposing them.
Yeah.
But I do believe that if, you know, not me, then who? And, I've done a good job of recording these people and documenting through their own words and transcripts, you know, the illegal things that they do. And we do have to hold them all accountable.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, kids are going to be, we're going backwards. We're sterilizing our children, and any civilization that, and in Minnesota, we allow same day of birth abortions as well. So any culture that does not value children and place their lives essentially ahead of everything else, as far as I'm concerned, is a fallen society. And that's what we're at in Minnesota for a fact. And that can't be very, you know, damn well good for a good future.
No.
So, I think parents definitely need to stand up, but these are things that parents that I find, especially so-called Christian parents, don't want to talk about. They don't think that they can be their kids can be indoctrinated in schools and that CPS will get involved in the schools and they will secretly help indoctrinate your children by assigning third party nonprofits to your kids to pick them up at a whim's notice and does who held the whole knows what, you know, to your kids. They'll fight you in court with false charges and harass you until you just basically give up. And that's what they've been trying to do to me, but I refuse to give up. So I'm sort of like their biggest pain in their butt, but it's happening not just here, it's happening everywhere.
Some
states are worse than others. And I do hope that with the new administration, I agree with you, you know, if Donald Trump, I mean, he did say before he got elected that he would put a moratorium and put a hold on gender affirming care for minors in every state. And I, you know, quite frankly, I'm not a legal professional, constitutional lawyer or anything like that, but I'm not quite sure how he's going to be able to do that if this is really like, if they look at this as like almost like abortion, where it's a state's rights issue. You know, the people that live in that state who vote in their politicians to enact whatever those bills are, such as, you know, same day birth abortion. Everybody said nobody does it, but of course we have statistics now that says that, yeah, plenty of people get same day of birth abortions in states like Minnesota. So and I already saw the numbers too. We are actively transing young children in the state of Minnesota. We're removing healthy young breasts off of, you know, young girls, essentially, and it's really pretty disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, again, this happened to Elon Musk, one of his children, didn't it? And he feels very bad about that. I think it was in California. So I'm sure this is going to get looked at. And I'm sure if anyone can bring change between them, Donald Trump and Elon Musk will find a way somehow. Just to go back to the abortion that you were mentioning, because I heard something about this during the American election, but obviously I'm not in America, so I probably haven't heard the full story. Is this an abortion after the birth, that where they just don't support the baby and let it die? Is that what you're referring to?
So yeah, in the state of Minnesota especially, and there's a number of other states as well. If you know, you're full term as a woman and you have an emotional breakdown because your boyfriend is leaving you because he doesn't want to be in the child's life, and I'm just creating for you a hypothetical here. That's a true hypothetical, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. And you're so distraught, you can go to the hospital and get an abortion. Let's just say you're scheduled for a C-section the following day or whatever. You can go in the previous day or the day of and decide you want an abortion, and they have to give you an abortion. And at that age, if the child is born alive, and this is well documented, it happens quite often, that they have absolutely no liability to that child. In other words, what they try to do is if they're a nice doctor, they'll pump the baby full of drugs so that the baby doesn't feel any pain.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, they can just let that baby sit there and die on that table. You know, so yeah, and this is far beyond what had been happening. This is a bill that passed 2 years ago, along with the Trans Destination Bill in the state of Minnesota. And you know, if you look at this as a whole, the only way that I can look at this is, rather than protecting children as a society, children have become the hunted. And it's a death cult. We are, you know, it's infanticide. I don't know any other way to put it. I am grieving for my child, praying like crazy I can get through the courts, get back in front of a judge, and, you know, whatever my daughter, who is a trans boy, is doing, that I can have a say and an influence into future decisions. Because, you know, that as a father, you know, that weighs very heavy on my heart and on my, you know. It's like, how do we protect our children when they don't even enforce the court order, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what fathers do. We protect our kids.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
Has your child, has it got as far as surgery yet? I don't want to pry, but.
No, you can pry, sure. Well, you know what? Here's the reality is my ex has kept every single thing from me. But here's the reality. Minnesota has been expanding Planned Parenthood like crazy in the state of Minnesota. And they're doing that because we're a trans destination.
Yeah.
And they are out, and Planned Parenthood is not only providing cross-sex hormones, they're also providing puberty blockers to children, both of which will make that child not fertile also will kill any of the ability for that child in most cases to ever have any sexual feelings whatsoever in terms of sensation or during intimacy. So the fact that there are two nonprofits that are assigned to pick up my child at any moment's notice and bring my child to wherever my child needs to go gives you probable deniability. And so my ex refuses to address this, and so far so has everyone else. Anyway, this is part of what I'm trying to get out of this lawsuit for discovery, because what happened is I've been kept in the dark on everything. I don't know, and they're not telling me.
Yeah.
So what they do say again is it's the craziest thing.
Yeah.
There's a certain segment of society that has no problem looking you straight in the face and lying to you.
Yes.
And that's what's happened to me. I mean, literally, and it's not just like my ex, she lies all the time.
Yeah.
The people like CPS, they lie. The therapists lie.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even, so if I was a parent, my best advice to a parent right now would be keep your children out of any government agency like CPS for fact. Keep your child out. Do not take your child to therapy. I'm sorry, right now, all the therapists are quacks.
Yeah.
Keep your kids out of therapy. Order books
and
learn how to be a parent if you're a bad parent. You know, there's good books on the market on how to be a good parent. You know, do that. Go take your kids to a church, enroll them in a youth group, and then if need be, if it's really bad, like my kid who's on the spectrum. Pull them out of a bad school.
Yes.
You know, do whatever you can. My ex fought me on that. Everybody lied to me about everything. So I didn't know, but now that I look back, I can see that they did all of this. Now there's some liability here. I'm going after their licenses because everything they did illegally.
Yeah.
And then once they do that, my goal would be to hopefully sue them out of existence.
Yeah.
Because no parent should ever have to go through any of this. This is ridiculous.
Yes.
And there's a lot of us like this. And so, I just want to encourage parents out there that are going through this that, you know, I think you need to look at this a little bit differently. And, if you remove the bad workers by making those complaints to their board, the boards that license them, they're gone. Once they're gone, they lose all rights and protections. Then you can sue them civilly.
I see.
And that's sort of what my whole goal here is. And then, but this is what I want to say to other parents. If, you know, I'm available as well. If anyone wants to DM me, I am available at Brent Bowlby on X. And I'm really happy to, like, if you want, anybody wants to DM me to talk, and I can kind of give you an idea what I'm going through. Because again, I think people like yourself and me, even though it happens to a lot of people, especially men, you know, it's still a relatively small community. And I think we're the only ones that can talk to each other without driving each other crazy because we both experienced the same exact thing.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of what you said, I've sort of been nodding my head too, because it's so familiar, as you say, Just to go back, you mentioned Planned Parenthood. Actually, before I wanted to ask a question about that, but just before that, you mentioned schools recently. Now, I see so much happening in America in terms of homeschooling, and the rise of that seems to be a gathering pace, and the forming of micro schools. And obviously AI is now starting to impact schooling. And Elon Musk last week said that you could teach a child maths on, I think he said 1 hour a week. And he was basically replying to a tweet that somebody had shown some sort of evidence or a story about. I know there are some software programs where they aim to do, again, get similar efficiencies. So this is an area that I've sort of begun reading about, and even what somebody I know is very unhappy with their school, and they just don't seem to be teaching the children just the basics. And I know in England this happens a lot as well. The schools, you know, the educational standards, the examination standards seem to be reducing every year. So if you were to compare an examination paper now against one 30 years ago, there's a marked difference. And again, if you were to go back 30 years before that, so, you know, perhaps the 1960s, again, it's been happening for a long time. So it's really encouraging to see that more and more people around the world, but I think this is happening more in America, are taking their education of their children into their own hands and getting them out of this, what I've heard somebody else refer to as an indoctrination center, you know, that you go to, yeah, send your children to school and they're getting, they're not getting taught so much as taught what to think. Yeah.
Well, they're getting taught that mommy can have, that you can have two mommies, and yeah, and you know, believe me, I agree with you. If I, you know, quite frankly, you know, hindsight being 2020, you know, yeah, I mean, I think homeschooling, and I've known growing up, I had friends that were homeschooled, and you know, I think if you can socialize your kids,
yeah,
homeschooling is still a great option if you can. But you know, everything, I mean, and I know in the UK and other areas in Germany, et cetera, you know, you're in a bad inflation place as we are. And so, I mean, it's hard enough to live now as it is.
Yeah.
But you're not wrong. The school that my kids attend, were told to not tell me anything. Mm. And the second person that I found out that my daughter was transient was during COVID, when I was still doing the whole remote. I would actually call in and I would get a remote Zoom conference with my daughter's science teacher, and he referred to my daughter as and I was like, what? You know, and I didn't make a big deal out of it, but right then it was like, what the heck is going on? So the school, you know, I mean, the schools definitely do play a part, and not only that, they actually have they actually have their own you know, support group in schools too, and so a lot of this indoctrination is in fact happening in schools.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah,
and online.
Yeah, online. Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned Planned Parenthood. That I think that's more of a US thing. Could you just explain a little bit more about what they are? Because I'm not too clear.
Sure. No, it's a great question. I think Margaret Thanger, I think is her name, started Planned Parenthood, I think, back in the 20s and 30s. In fact, it was a racist organization. It was an organization that handed out birth control and abortion services to to minority groups, basically. Okay. Black Americans. But they have left that scene, sort of. They are now, you know, much less black babies. They're like, they will help provide free. So they're basically like a free birth control center for handing out birth control, day after pill, right, so the abortion pill. And they're also now getting into gender medicine. So yeah, you can now go as a teenager. And in fact, that's what a lot of teens did when they were sexually active, while they were living at home with their parents. You know, you had that 16-year-old girl who needed to be on birth control pills, or 15-year-old girl. And what they would do is they would just end up at Planned Parenthood, their neighborhood Planned Parenthood. There's one not that far from my home. And if you didn't have any money, you basically didn't have to pay for anything.
Yeah.
And then they could assist you if you were needing an abortion or those types of services. They could assist you in that. Basically what they're doing is, you know, Big Pharma has gotten involved, and now we've got a perfect distribution system set up that, you know, kids are already used to going to. And we have this rapid rise of ROGD, or rapid onset gender dysphoria, amongst these autistic children, especially girls. And And you can just see the whole machine just start to, you know, start to spin up. So it's going to be a multi-billion dollar opportunity here for big pharma. And it's pretty sick. And yeah, this is what our kids are being brought to.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, to keep going back to Elon Musk, he's quite critical of nonprofits in America and the rise of them and the amount of money they're running. So maybe I don't know if Planned Parenthood is one, but they seem to be groups that have agendas and they snowball and they, you know, as you sort of said, there's lots of money in certain areas, and I think maybe that's going to get focused on with the in the next few years. So it's very sad to see what's going on, but you just have to have some hope now that it will change in a little way, and I think America it's can be a beacon for the rest of the world. I mean, Britain is just going down the toilet with the new government, but the old government wasn't any good either. And they, you know, the way they're jailing people for tweets and letting out violent criminals, and they don't even jail paedophiles a lot of the time. So it Britain is just going in reverse, and we just, I think the whole world, you know, I mean, it's this Indian man who killed himself and is in the news today. He didn't reach out to anyone in India. He sent his message to Elon Musk and Donald Trump. This is a guy in India, and I see people in Europe doing the same and in Britain doing the same. It's almost like they've given up with their own governments, and they're hoping that America is going to become, you know, as it hasn't really functioned this way recently, but when I was a child, America was undoubtedly, yeah, people just used to say America, the greatest country in the world. It was like a beacon. And we hope that, I think a lot of people, certainly me, that America will become that again and show the rest of the world how it should be, you know.
It's interesting. So, you know, again, just to sort of address that just a little bit. So just back to the Planned Parenthood thing real quick.
Yeah.
So just in the last, I was just looking at some numbers, and basically Planned Parenthood Federation of America receives about $1.78 billion in federal funds.
Wow.
Annually.
Yeah.
So a couple billion, plus they get state money, plus they will charge if your insurance, if you have it. And there might be some small copay, but usually children or adolescents will get their, you know, birth control and everything else they need for free.
Yeah.
Yes, moving forward, you know, it's interesting to me because I used to travel all around the world, and Europe especially hated George W. Bush, or the second Bush, younger Bush. Sort of laughing stock of the world. I traveled when Trump was in the office the first time around, and sort of the same thing, to be honest with you. A lot of Europeans thought, you know, boy, Donald Trump is sort of like this awful person, and they made fun of him. And then, of course, he didn't win, and then we got Biden. and so it's sort of like, you know what? Sometimes it's best not to get what you hope for. You might just get it.
Yeah.
And when you get it, it just might be the thing that kills you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that there's any doubt in anybody's mind that the last several years have not been good for the world.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, parents, but I mean, the wars that have been broken out, the pipelines that have been blown up on purpose, has destroyed the economies of countries like Germany and raised, you know, pensioners' bills by hundreds of dollars a month in the UK and everything else. I mean, we do see that happening. It's happening here as well. And, so, you know, the US's fingerprints are on everything, including every weapon that we deliver to every, you know, war, proxy war that we're fighting. And, you know, and I hope that everybody's tired of this, because, you know, not only are we killing each other, we're systematically killing our own children by indoctrination in our schools. Mm-hmm. And setting up centers to sterilize them. This is almost a dystopian, you know, you know, kind of a society as you could even come to imagine. So it's changed a lot. I know it sounds negative. I hope it's going to go positive.
Yeah.
And I hope this time around people will look at Trump and the people that he's assembled himself with.
Yes.
Give him a chance, because I think people are sort of like secretly, if not outwardly, saying, you know, this time around, you know, they basically, you know, got lucky that we were getting back sort of like the person that, you know, the first time around, even though he faced tremendous adversities and lies, like the Russia hoax, you know, constantly all these other things that basically blocked him. He seems to be with Elon Musk, as you said, and Doge and everything else. I hope they do exactly what they say they do. I hope that they go in and get and you know, keep the right regulations and get rid of the wrong regulations, get you know, make us a lot leaner. But my God, it sort of seems like, you know, I think for the world's sake, we need some sanity, even if that sanity comes in the form of a guy who may not be, you know, sane himself, but he's surrounded himself with enough sane people that he's gained some world trust. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I hope. I want every U.S. president to succeed. Yeah. I wish Biden would have succeeded.
Yeah.
All he succeeded in was making everything a million times worse, not just for the U.S., but as you said, you know, the U.S. is the leading, economic headwind. I think if we do bad, it's going to be bad everywhere else.
Yeah.
So then we doubled down and we made it worse on everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, you know, it sucks to be everybody. It sucks to be American too, quite frankly, right now. But there is hope.
Yeah.
I can't believe that you guys have Starmer. I mean, it's sort of like, what the hell? You guys stepped completely backwards in the world.
Yeah.
And you ran right to, you know, socialism or communism.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know what it is. You don't have free speech anymore.
No.
You know, neither do I. I have a gag order on me as well. So it's happening over here as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the other thing about Starmer is he's a lawyer, and given the last 6 years, I would steer clear of any lawyers running a country. But I think Biden's a lawyer as well, isn't he? Yeah.
So Biden is just a big liar. Who knows what Biden is? I mean, he's just, unfortunately, I think the whole world the whole world can see that, you know, there's not a whole lot going on upstairs.
Yeah.
And it's sad that what's really sad is that, you know, the Americans, I don't know how the whole world can keep looking at America as a shining beacon on a hill when what we do is we lie to the rest of the world constantly. We have our fingers involved in everything.
Mm.
And then if you don't like it, you know, we'll just like cause your economy to crash, or we'll add tariffs on you. And you know what? I'm an American. I love my country.
Yeah.
But what's been happening in the last couple of years has not been good.
No. I mean, there was a really good. Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say there was a really good Joe Rogan episode with Mark Andreessen recently, where he was describing how, you know, the tech industry had been taken over. And he said, you know, it used to be entrepreneurial and merit-based, but through regulation and even things like debanking now, people would come in and basically say, well, no, this part of the industry, you know, a new sort of industry would start up. And he described how people would come in and say, no, we're going to have two or three companies there. You're not going to get anywhere if you're a startup. And they would basically just carve out that niche of a new industry and just give it to two or three massive companies. And then they would pile up the regulations so high that it became a barrier to entry for anyone innovative and new. And that he was arguing that this was detrimental to the US and just innovation around, the, you know, worldwide. And he said that this is not how it used to be, but it's how it's become in the last sort of, I don't know, decade or so. So that that's really needs to change as well. I think America always, you know, it used to, it's not, I think he was basically saying it's not functioning, America, how it used to and how it needs to.
Right. So, and I was a serial entrepreneur for, you know, 25, 28 years.
Yeah.
And so I did do the whole fundraising and you know, go to market and worldwide leader in market given category, et cetera. And I think what has really happened is the government, you know, always picked the winners and the losers, but now they're really picking the winners and the losers. Like, even, you know, even if you look at individual cases, and it is very much driven on from a DEI perspective, diversion or equity and inclusion.
Diversity,
equity, inclusion, correct. Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, so, you know, I mean, so they could very, very much could, but, you know, if you keep your media company small, then you can have more influence over them.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what we saw with having the feds being, you know, having essentially an office at like Twitter. And that's why Elon, I think, is so important. Elon, I can't even imagine that from just an outside observer, like watching how he has operated and knowing that, you know, he is self-described on Team Humanity and doesn't want Team Humanity to blow up, you know, at least hopefully will provide us with, you know, a great deal of influence. So I do like the way that this whole new cabinet's being put together. You know, I like the fact that this time around, it seems as though the world is like, okay, we'll take Donald Trump. It's been so freaking bad. We'll take him. We'll take him. Yeah. I don't know, what's your observation?
Yeah, similar. I think that's spot on. For I'd agree with that. We'll just have to see. I think they've got their work cut out. But he has got a good team, and we'll just have to see. It's they're going to have an awful lot of pushback and resistance. And I've heard people describe disruption of industries that they have an allergic reaction to change. You know, the best vested interests will kick back, and you may get lawfare happening there. The battle's not over because they won an election. But I don't think you could hope for a more capable bunch of people to take that on. And we'll just have to see, really.
Yeah, I sense that too. I mean, there is with Vivek also working with Elon, you know, on the Doge. That's crazy amazing. I mean, we just hired 82,000 total IRS employees to, and they said they were not going to track transactions over $600, which we now know they are. The IRS. So really, they hired these people to basically, you know, consume more of the taxpayers' money to basically be able to vacuum it up. And I hope that you know, we go to a flat tax. And simplify our taxes, because, you know, there's no reason why everybody in America should have to go and hire and pay $300, $400 a year to a tax preparer to do our taxes. That just means everything is out of whack.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as with how we vote. I mean, we should know within 30 minutes of each poll closing what the vote is, and make sure that, you know, weeks and months later, you can't overturn a district vote because of 20 lost ballots that you suddenly found. I mean, there's a lot of things that we really have to change. But in fact, of having these tech companies be basically a show for the government has been absolutely devastating.
Yeah.
And I think that's what gives me hope. You know, having the government out of our social media and influence is a really good thing. Yeah. I hope now that I really do hope they look at the criminal court system as well.
Yeah.
and quit allowing people to put such subjective things such as HROs on people, with, you know, having eliminate ex parte hearing except for the absolute worst of the worst. So you can't use lawfare against people, essentially. And allow perjury charges to be more easily prosecuted, and make sure that, you know, as many states as possible go to 50-50 parenting. Make sure that there are swift and stern penalties for any types of parental alienation or alienating behavior.
Yeah.
If they did that alone, if they would just uphold the state statutes, because almost every state in the U.S. has anti-parental alienation laws, and I know several in the U.K. do as well. But, you know, if they just upheld their own freaking laws and rules, you know, parents like us, we would never have to really ever talk. Life would be great.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the things that, as you've just described them, some of the measures are so simple, but you never see many lawyers shouting for them. It's deafening, really, the silence coming from the legal community, because they must see parents and children suffer all the time, but they just don't seem interested in changing it. And there's got to be a reason there. I think we all know what it is, but yeah.
Well, and I think you raise a good point there too, because here's another real fix for it. Anything where it's infused with money, and the ability for people to earn endless seemingly amounts of that money, without any boundaries on it, then you're going to have a problem. So if, you know, we could very easily, I'm for less regulation, but let's just put it this way. There's no reason why a divorce or breakup should cost $1 million.
No.
They should cap every divorce at a limit. And so if a divorce limit, and you can even base on income, if the individual's income, combined income together was, say, $100,000 and below, the total divorce cannot cost more than, you know, $5,000. I mean, it would basically force lawyers to basically do the best job in the best interest in order to get it over with, because if it gets dragged on, then it's out of their pocket. And, you know, and so, and then if you have like $250,000, you know, let's say you can't spend more than $15,000 combined, $7,500 each, or $200,000. I mean, whatever the cap is.
Yeah.
But that would, if you suck, you know, here's the reality, is that you could easily still and utilize, and companies, what it would do is it would cause companies to innovate and use AI
yes.
a lot more, which would drive those costs down, and you could probably do the whole what the whole medical industry has been going towards, and that is not necessarily replace doctors, but rather than add two doctors, hire more physician assistants who can diagnose and self-prescribe.
Yeah.
And that brings down the cost of healthcare, but it also allows more individuals the ability to take over certain aspects of that higher pain, pain point. And I think you can do that. I think you can do almost the exact same thing here in, especially family court. And you know what? You could still, if you're a lawyer, you can still make money off of that. Just get busy. Yeah. Hire more paralegals. You know, yeah. It wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah. They're not an innovative bunch, the legal profession, but yes, they certainly should be made to be. I think there's certainly a ripe for disruption in that industry. As we start to wrap it up then, you mentioned you were had a legal case in January. I'm assuming we can't talk about that. So perhaps we could do another. I mean, obviously, wished you the best with that. And maybe we can catch up for another episode once that's complete. Is there anything else you'd like to cover before we wrap up? And also, you mentioned earlier how people can find you on social media. Can we cover that again? And then I'll put it into the show notes for listeners as well.
Sure. So just to answer your question, the January is a felony hearing. One of it, there's two pieces to it. One is a matter related to press contacting my ex.
Yeah.
So I didn't do it. The press did it. The journalist did it. I didn't know when, how, if, or whatever. I had zero knowledge, but somehow I got a felony over that. Other one was basically an email that was sent, and I could communicate with her about our children, but I sent it to her over unencrypted email. And so it's, you know, that's what I'm being charged for.
Right.
That it's so ridiculous that they're felony charges and it can be up to 5 years in jail. The reason why they're felony charges is because she got through, you know, this is like the third HRO that she had on me that were all false back to 2019.
Yeah.
So basically that's where we are. But so people want to find me, I'm on X at Brent Bowlby, one word, Brent Bowlby. And then the other thing that I did, you know, as I mentioned, unfortunately, you know, like most men, you do get to the point where you either basically are like where I'm at, and that is at the point where I can no longer go and fight these battles. And that's, I think, what they want to do is they want to run you out of money.
Yes.
And that's what they said to me. So a person has set up a GoSend give account. That is at, or I'm sorry, a GiveSendGo account. So GiveSendGo.com/Brent Bowlby, one word. And I just basically appreciate anything, prayers, you know, but if you can't donate, that's fine. Or $5, that's fine. It doesn't matter. Or nothing, that's fine too. But, you know, hopefully if I can get this to, if we can beat these people, I think it's going to bode well for the state of Minnesota and everywhere else. So hopefully, you know, hopefully good things will happen out of this.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I certainly wish you the best, and I'll share those links on my podcast page and in the show notes. Thanks very much for coming on today. Hopefully we do another episode in future. It's been really good talking with you, Brent, and best wishes.
Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed myself, and next time you want to talk, just hit me up. I'm happy anytime. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Please join us next time.